Nations Wetlands Discussion.
This item was deferred last two special meetings of the commission. Attached a copy of Shane's report, the copy of an email that Rick received in reference to this procedure. And it basically is a memo or an email from Rick to Shane and myself and Vince Robertson from Rick. Which you can read and then we can discuss if you want.
Get an extra copy of that. Just look at yours.
Not one that doesn't have.
I need a copy. Can I just look at it for a minute and I'll pass it back to you? Here we go. Was not able to stop by the office before I came here from Wilmington.
Here, Mike, I thought you had a copy of it.
Rick, is this designation of a professional wetland scientist something relatively new or has that been around for a while, do you know, or?
I don't know the, how long it's been around, but in discussing it with Jim McCulley with JCM, that was his recommendation. Apparently, it's the convention among environmental specialists that would be useful. And if we just take a step back at the case that we just dealt with is a perfect example of why it would be good to have what I'm recommending in item number one. The previous example was an in-house determination by somebody, and we don't know who, that was obviously in error. And so if we have some reliance, if there's some question about the existence of wetlands, or if there's a determination of wetlands, there ought to be some kind of documentation as to who made that determination and their qualifications. And that can be submitted as part of the record. It's nothing that I don't think would be onerous to the applicant. They will have that information right with them.
In most cases, we get in the better application where you get the booklet, they've usually got a copy of the delineation report and certification.
Right.
They just don't have the jurisdictional determination.
any of these suggestions here, I mean, first glance, it all looks good, and I think it would give us a good system. Does it, Mr. Lang, present any particular staff challenges other than the additional training or anything? Does it make your job harder or anybody else's doing it this way?
Well, if you get, how much class are they going to have to take to be able to make that determination?
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, the staff that we have now, is not. I don't know that anyone's been qualified except maybe Rick.
And I'm not qualified.
Not qualified.
In terms of wetland determination. Unfortunately, in researching this, we sort of uncovered some other related issues that are trying to be addressed by the third and fourth recommendation there. Let me just give you an example, and this is only for the purposes of an example. Let's see, did I hand out my copy? I did. I need one of those copies.
This one with a 9 and 23. And
well, no, I got the very first copy right here. Okay, we're all set.
Okay.
There was this particular case The very first photograph shows the land as it was proposed when it was going to be subdivided. Okay, and if you look next to what I've identified as lot number 23, you can basically see where the buffer would be, because the edge of the property line is the edge, is also the buffer. Okay, and so to the right of lot 23 is the 50-foot riparian buffer, and then you see the wetland. Okay, it's very clear right there. If you go to lot number 9, you see the same kind of thing. A little bit of the what would otherwise be the buffer was farmed, but mostly it's forested land. If you go to the next page, shows what conditions apply, and it's the typical kinds of things that we see, in that they're going to save all the trees and just cut down what's necessary and that kind of stuff. And you see in my under number 9, my note number 2, this plan proposes no wetland disturbance nor any disturbance of riparian buffer. And the way they set it up, if you look at the previous map, the rear of the property line is also the edge of the riparian buffer. So, and that's what we see in a lot of subdivisions. But if you go to the last map, you can see what was actually developed. And again, go back to lot number 9 in particular in this case. If you compare lot number 9 to the conditions that were proffered in this case, it doesn't look like they attempted to keep the trees except what was necessary for the building of the house. And they clearly disturbed the riparian buffer, because the riparian buffer is everything outside of the lot line. And so that, in essence, is the reason why we need to do number 3 and 4. We need to have the silt fences and the basically the area of disturbance upland from not only the wetlands, but also from the buffer. And there needs to be somebody with the skill and the authority to go out there and do the inspection and make sure that when they get to that point, there isn't any other work within the riparian buffer, because it's supposed to be a naturally vegetated buffer. And the problem we've had is that the silt fence shows up on the stormwater management plans with the conservation district. The buffer is on our plans, and there's a hole there. And so what I'm trying to cover is that missing space and make sure that it's addressed.
And in that case, if that was the only thing that they were looking at, our staff could do that.
Yeah, and
it's a matter of checking the measurement of the lot depth.
Right, and that's where it becomes a policy decision, because do we want it to be limited to just that, or do we want some other additional? Do we want to work with the property owners, work with the development community? Do we want to have somebody that's knowledgeable to answer questions, that can do the follow-up inspections when they're doing plantings and making sure that the plantings are appropriate, and any other kind of things that might happen in terms of follow-up, rather than just straight code enforcement, measurement, things like that. And that becomes more of a policy issue than an enforcement issue.
And in reference to this application, the application was approved under certain names. It was flipped. They went in and started clearing, and then they flipped it.
And not only
the building is the one now obligated to make the improvements for what they messed up. So they went too far into the.
I understand, and you feel like that's. I mean, if you're thinking, I mean, you might be tempted to think that that's unfair, but somewhere along the way, somebody has to read the drawings.
Oh, no, I'm not saying anything wrong. I'm just saying that's
the thing. Some,
that, was, That was just additional information, let you know it's been flipped twice.
Yeah, I understand. And the thing is that somebody should be, somebody wasn't reading the drawings. And I don't know who it was in that chain of events, but I'm sure that it can probably be identified. I suspect it was everybody was not reading mm-hmm. the drawings. And unfortunately, two people got out before and it became a problem.
But because of this gap between the conservation district and our inspectors, our people don't go out there until it's way late in the process. Once the trees are already cut, once the disturbance is already there, it's too late.
Yeah, I agree.
But we don't get out there until that point.
A few meetings ago, there would seem to be a consensus that if there's a buffer required, that the silt fence would be required to be on the inside of the buffer, not in the buffer itself,
right,
or at the perimeter of the buffer.
Correct. Yeah.
That way,
and that's one way of addressing it. But it also, we also need to have somebody, some field people out there.
Oh, sure. I'm just saying, but that was something we discussed, and I think we put that on one of the projects recently too.
Yes, we did.
Right. But if there's a determination of a wetland, and we have the proper documentation of who did it and that kind of stuff, I think we're okay in terms of the drawings. If the only question is if there's a in-house determination or if there's some kind of conflict in data that, for example, the state swamp maps, if they show wetlands on the property and there's a determination that there is no wetlands, then somebody needs to resolve that, and it should be somebody with credentials. And so if those two things happen, the paperwork side then is taken care of, and I don't think it's necessary to go through the exercise of having the jurisdictional determination unless it's required for some other reason, like there's going to be filling or some other disturbance of 404 wetlands. So I think that part can be easily covered. It's this gap afterwards that's in the field that needs to be filled. That's my research on the project, on the issue. I don't know if Mr. Robertson or Mr. Lank or Mr. Abbott have any other observations or suggestions, but that's what I came up with.
Well, just for an update on the commission, we've been discussing a specific project. We didn't give you the name or location, but we're working on that.
Yeah.
We got to respond to a letter. We received a letter from the current developer. Plans are to improve that what they disturbed, and they want some direction, and they're working on a landscape plan to this at this moment. But they shouldn't have to go fix it. They should have just left it alone. But well, they did. They're not the ones that destroyed it.
Yeah, and it's I understand that there's unfairness there, or at least perceived unfairness there.
And you can note on that one aerial that they basically clear cut woods.
Well, I understand how that happens. Believe me, I know exactly.
I don't know what type of tree they were there, but they must not like it.
Well.
You know. And as I mentioned to a couple of the property owners when I went out and looked at it, the property owners are in kind of the worst of all possible situations because they purchased, especially some of these nearest the wetlands, bought land with a nice view, unbothered by trees or anything. Had they done it the way that was proposed, there probably would have been more trees there. I don't know if they would have still bought the land or not. That's a whole different issue. But the circumstance they're in now is they've got the end of the property. There's this cleared, filled 50-foot space that's full of weeds, junk, who knows, that essentially nobody's responsible for, although technically it's the homeowners association, but you know, what's going to happen to it and what's it going to look like? And the last thing that we need is to have turf grass and fertilizer put in that buffer area, which is unfortunately what's happening more often than not. We need to prevent that from happening, because that's the last, that 50 feet is the most important 50 feet in the county in terms of protecting our bays.
Mr. Counts, thank you for your fine work on this. Thank you.
So we're just summarize what we discussed and
mm-hmm.
reference Rick's drawings and email into the minutes. And
I think the suggestions are good ones, and I think we have to do something.
We can digest it.
Yeah, I mean we'll take it under advisement, discuss it again.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I think we're on the right path here.
In a subdivision, we could do it as a
yeah.
condition of approval.
Yeah.
As you do other conditions, and if not, we would have to amend the ordinance to make it specific as a requirement. That's the easier way as we get more in depth.
Right. Okay. All right. Any other discussion on this matter, gentlemen?
Okay. We added item number 16 to our agenda, which was subdivision 2004-38 Seneca Harbor Joint Venture. Mr. Johnson asked to have that taken off the consent agenda and put on the regular agenda, and he must have had a reason.
I did, Mr. Chairman, and the reason is that as long as I've been on the commission, we've done the granted a second one-year time extension. This was a third request. And I didn't know, number one, if the commission had the authority to do so, and after that, whether or not even we want to consider approving more than two.
At this point in time, I'm under the impression that we don't have the authority to grant any further time extension, but I guess I can ask Mr. Lang.
I don't know if that's the case.
Mr. Fuquay raising his hand. I think we will let him come up and speak with us, since he's been so patient throughout this meeting.
And since still worried about Mr. Hogg out back?
Since I'll be seeing him later.
Yeah.
So.
I would like you to elaborate.
I will at the appropriate time, which is not too many minutes from now, I don't think. But anyway.
This is, just for the record, this is a request for a one-year time extension. The commission granted preliminary approval on August 11, 2005, granted one-year time extension on August 16, 2006, and July 18, 2007. This is the third request for an extension. If an extension is granted, it will be retroactive to the anniversary date of the preliminary approval. Would be valid until August 11th of 2009.
Mr. Fuquay, could you be able to shed some light on our standing on this?
Yes, and I'm not aware of what was submitted with the request. I didn't actually file the request, but
okay. You want to look at it? Lawrence probably has.
In speaking with Mr. Abbott before, there have been occasions where additional extensions were granted, and the. This project is in an area where there were several approved developments, and each one was going to be served by a separate on-site central system. And over a period of several years, because of the developments that were approved, Tidewater stepped in and basically was planning a regional system to bring in these different developments. And I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was about 2 or 3 months ago. I was before you on another time extension. It was for a subdivision called Norwood, and it's one of the subdivisions that will be served by Tidewater. It was in the same situation, and you did grant the third extension. The reason was I have a letter from on Norwood. There's a letter from Mr. Esposito from Tidewater, and as he explains in there, on Norwood, as with this application, the development has received all its permits that it's required. The only permit that it does not have is the county engineer permit on the sewer. And basically what occurred was the county engineer will not issue the permit until Tidewater receives the conditional use approval. So that's why everything is kind of backed up at this point in time.
Are we within the time? Are we still in the second extension, or has the second extension long since expired, or what?
The
Do you know, Mr. Fuqua?
August 11th would be the anniversary date. The request was filed on June 30th.
Okay, so they're within.
The request was filed.
It was there prior to the expiration.
Has a conditional use been applied for by Tidewater yet?
Yeah, it hasn't been applied for. There hasn't been a hearing yet.
Yeah, it's had several hearings already.
Okay, but they haven't made a decision? Okay, there hasn't been a.
You got to come up.
Yeah, Mr. Warner, you're going to need to come up front here and tell us who you are and if you're going to testify. I mean, we know who you are, but the machine doesn't, and they can't hear you back there anyway, and you sound like you might be saying something important.
Doug Warner from Element. We're the engineer for this particular applicant. From my understanding, Tidewater's had a few different meetings on the conditional use application. I believe it's Angola. Might be the name of the plant that they're talking about.
We had that. We've already seen it.
Tell me, Wandendale.
Yeah, Wandendale, probably. Yeah.
One on 24 and 279.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, they had the hearing. All right.
And if you want to see, this was the map of the proposed service district. And the development would be included in the refreshing memory.
As unusual as it is, it sounds like a timing. Sounds like timing to me, but. I don't know.
Are you aware of any others that we've done?
I have to tell you, I don't remember us ever granting more than two extensions, but I'm not saying we haven't. I'm not saying I haven't. I'm just saying I don't remember. But I would suspect if we did, it had to be something pretty special, and or something similar to this, or. Something. I mean, I think I know where you're going with that, and I agree with you. We start doing this, everybody's brother will be in here wanting that third bite at the apple.
Well, I had to go back through all the lists, but since the middle of 2006, we've granted 140-some subdivision time extensions, and most of them are repeats, so it's not 140. There's some balance there in between. Where we've done it.
Well, yeah, and I think we do for the first one and the second one without too much, too much trouble. It's the third one, and I guess what we're asking is there. I think Mr. Johnson's question is there is can anyone recall a specific precedent of when it was done and why it was done and all that good stuff.
If I can again,
you may know. Go ahead. Tell us.
One of the subdivisions that'll be in this Tidewater Sewer District was Norwood.
Okay.
You approved it for a third extension about 2 months ago. It's the same situation as this one.
For a third extension?
That's my recollection.
I don't disagree with you because, especially today, I'm sure your recollection is better than mine.
Well, I think that. Let me read the list.
I'm just kind of surprised that this idea of a third extension wouldn't have come up and been thoroughly discussed like it's being now.
There was a discussion, and I think the essence of it turned on the fact that all the permits had been granted. The only thing holding this up was actually the county, because the county engineering department, I think, kind of changed their position on what they previously had done, but they wouldn't grant their approval until the conditional use was approved, which is understandable.
What you're saying is it's essentially the same thing we have in front of us today.
This is identical, and
not only is it the same, it's identical.
It's identical.
I sort of thought that, yeah. Well, that's different. All right, now that's interesting. The engineer's letter. Information given to us says that the engineer's letter states that they are awaiting approvals from SCD, Sussex County Engineering, and the Office of the State Fire Marshal. Now, that's not everything else being issued, so where'd that come from?
I can elaborate on that. The fire marshal will not grant. They have reviewed the plan, the street network, and the entrance, and will not grant final approval on that, again, depending on the sewer network and the water network being approved through the county. The Sussex Conservation District, subsequent to that letter, has granted us the approval.
Before August 11th?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So the dominoes are there. It's
yeah.
Just, they won't yeah, fall yeah, until yeah. the approval of the
Yeah, that's a problem.
For the commission's, I guess, edification on this, I don't know exactly what the background of this one, but there is a specific provision for conditional uses that allows in verbatim language that a maximum of 2 1-year extensions may be granted, and if this is with regards to a preliminary approval, then the absence of a similar language may indicate that more than 2 could be given. But I don't know. In looking through this, I haven't had a time to extensively look at this.
I think that's the point that you're making, is it is specific about a conditional use, but does not appear to be specific about a subdivision.
And I haven't reviewed it with regard to a subdivision specifically, but I know that this language in conditional use is very specific, and I haven't been able to locate anything on a subdivision specifically.
Interesting.
It's my understanding also, and again, I understand that the commission wouldn't want to just extend these without any limit. I just think this is a situation where there's a very valid reason, and ultimately we're getting a central Tidewater company who's going to run the sewer system as opposed to individuals.
I mean, I don't think I'm really setting a precedence, because it's going to be a case by case. If somebody comes in for a third one, it's better.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Got a snazzy ring.
I think they'd better have a good reason if we could grant a third one.
Well, I point well taken. I agree with you. I don't have a particular problem with this situation here. It sounds like it's timing, and we all know what that's could be like.
It's a rather long paragraph. I've written right past it 3 times, but I finally found it because I thought it looked short.
Okay.
99.9-B.
Yeah, and further reviewing this, there is actual language.
Tentative approval of a subdivision plat shall be valid for 12 months. Unless the final plat in accordance with the approved preliminary plat, including any required changes or modifications, and in accordance with all other applicable provisions, shall be filed with the commission staff within 12 months from the date of action of the preliminary plat. The commission's action thereon shall be deemed canceled. Provided, however, that the final plat may include only a portion of the area of the preliminary plat, and that final plats are for remaining portions may be filed at a later date, not to exceed 2 years. Without a new preliminary plat, but subject to any changes in the regulations, basically. But we've continuously granted time extension on preliminaries because they haven't been able to get the agency to grant
approval. Agency backups, yeah. And
we discussed a few times. We've never changed the ordinance, but we discussed saying preliminary is good for 3 years and leave it at that.
That's true.
Be a lot easier.
It will be a lot easier because no one ever argues about this first or second time extension. They really ought to be automatic, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I mean, we discussed that, and we didn't, because we're waiting on the land use plan and waiting on other ordinances.
I don't think we've got really much of an issue with this. I mean, I see what the situation is, and I think if we get the least inclination afterwards that someone's trying to take advantage of it, we can shut it down in a heartbeat. Like Mr. Gordy said, take it a case at a time. But
if you grant a time extension, you can state that this is the last extension to be granted. Then they have to come back if they want to at least discuss it again with the commission.
And I will add, Tidewater has had their hearings now, so it
yeah, I don't think you're talking about any great length of time between now and being able to get this done. Typically, time extensions are 12 months. Occasionally, they're 6. I know once or twice we've done a 6-month extension.
Well, we've had people ask for 3 months. We've given them a year because we knew that they might not be able to meet.
We knew that they couldn't do what they thought they could do. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Could we possibly finesse this? Could the commission defer action on this and allow the applicant time to, in the time that this were deferred or tabled, the applicant could then be pursuing their permits?
They can't do it because their time's already up.
Okay.
They filed their application in a timely fashion, got it in here, but, we get here again, with the way things are and scheduling and all that stuff, it didn't get here until today, and which they expired last week, so they really, anything that happened, first of all, anything we do will be retroactive to the 11th, which will cover them for anything they've done in the meantime. But we can't, they can't go out and get an approval on something for which our approval has expired and then bring it back in. And I guess maybe you could, but I think it'd be easier to deal with it now.
We don't want to have to hear it again.
Yeah, and I think everybody's, or not everybody, I speak for myself, I think we're all right with this one. But
so we have the authority to do
it. Apparently we do.
There's nothing there that says we can't.
Nothing there that says we cannot do it.
Now, it's written totally different from the conditional use.
It's written different than the conditional use. And you know, if you think about it, there's a reason for that. I mean, a conditional use is a significant change. A subdivision is something people are allowed to do. They can apply for. It doesn't necessarily require a change of zone, although some of them are change of zones. So it's a little less, of an impact from an ordinance point of view.
Because if my memory serves correct, and I don't remember the name of the project, but it was in Mr. Smith's area where there was things were tied up because of the developer died, and the widow was getting
it. Nelson, the property down on the Cedar Neck Road,
And
so the council had to give the approval.
That's because it was conditional use.
Oh, that was conditional use.
That was called a reservation. Next to the reservation.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was
Nelson.
Nelson.
This time you need
right.
Year. You want a year?
Week.
Week.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be brought in for final as soon as.
Yeah, I understand, but I would agree with you. If it's let's not deviate from what we've been doing. So, all right, guys.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, concerning the time extension request for subdivision 2004-38 Seneca Harbor Joint Venture. My motion is for approval, with it being retroactive to August the 11th of 2008, and that this third and final extension is good until August 11th of 2009.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to grant a one-year time extension for subdivision 2004-38 Seneca Harbor Joint Venture. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Wheeler, could I just add one thing so you're not surprised?
You may.
There is a third one that we're requesting an extension on, too, that hasn't been presented to you yet. That has been filed, so it will be coming up again.
Well, I thought that might happen because Yeah, I have a little bit. Well, having seen the Tidewater's presentation, it was all public knowledge. I mean, it did seem to me that there were a lot of other subdivisions in that neighborhood that might want to tag on to that. So
I don't want to have to go to the parking lot more than once. You know?
Well, your trip to the parking lot's got nothing to do with this.
That was
it's funny. It'll be you'll get a laugh. Anybody else have anything for good of the order?
I do.
Yes, sir.
Before you is a large packet of with a rubber band around part of it. It's copies for next week's public hearings.
Oh, yeah.
There are copies of info provided referencing conditional use 1810, subdivision 2007-2, 2007-3, and 2006-35, which is a rehearing.
Okay.
There's also a copy of a memo from David Baker in reference to a historic preservation ordinance or something to give consideration to.
Historic preservation.
It relates more to demolition, I think, as much as it does historic preservation. And we also need to schedule our next special meeting for September.
September.
And what it appears that the Wednesday, September 17th, 08, is available. That's Wednesday. Thursday, September 18th is also available. If you can't make it on Wednesday, we could do 18th.
Sounds like Wednesday the 17th is the day that – can everybody make it that day?
Right.
Mr. Gordy's got a problem with the 18th, so I'm good with the 17th.
17th?
Yep.
And our regular meetings for next month are September 11th, September 25th.
Okay.
We're going three meetings next month.
We're not going to,
get rid of
yeah.
Roll up your
sleeves. Anyway, we're going to have to discuss having an extra meeting again. But I haven't had any pressure from council.
Good. Don't bring it up.
You're getting ready to get it, though. There's going to be ordinances to do, and we're not
going right.
to.
We've been waiting to see how many people request us expeditious action so they can be heard before the end of the year.
Shouldn't be more than about, what, how many pending are there?
140.
How many? 140.
About 140.
About 139 of them, probably. Yeah. Anything else, gentlemen?
Saturday mornings.
All I have.
All right. Stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing. Boy, Mr. Fuquay, were your ears burning
still
at any
live
time?
I just want to tell you one thing. There's only one.